Amen. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I was on Facebook the other day, and a young man made comments about the scripture that talks to us about if the righteous scarcely be saved. Amen. I think sometimes we need to listen to those words with almost a fear in our heart, not afraid, but a thing within us, an emotion within us that says, Lord, if the righteous scarcely be saved. Amen. I wish people had more of that hunger to want to be righteously saved. Amen. And walking in the kingdom of God than somebody to have to ask the question. Amen. They scarcely were. Amen. I want to be glad when I go to the house of the Lord. Amen. I want to partake and praise his name and just have everything that God has in store for us. And so let's pray together, asking God's will upon this service today. Lord, I pray that you bring us closer to you. Each and every one of us in this service, God, we need you. We need your help. Hallelujah. Lord, we know that when it comes to the righteousness and the parables that you taught, Lord, there is a right way and a wrong way. And I pray that you said there would be few that would enter in. God, make me a part of that few. Make me a part of that wise. Amen. Make me a part of having an understanding of your word and your gospel. Amen. That when we not only sit in this place, but when we sit in other places, amen, and have an opportunity to witness and explain to people what the word is all about. God, I pray that we would be hungry for your word. We invite you, God, to convict us of our sins or our shortcomings. Amen. We pray, God, that you would just move in our lives and empower us with your glory. Amen. I'm so glad that people can find and understand that there is great power in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. To move in us. And God, once we receive that gift, amen, there are miracles and there are tongues and there are laying on of hands. Amen. And God, let your word direct us in our prayer. We want to be right in your word. Amen, God. And let your authority speak to us and guide us in every way. Lord, in the name of Jesus, say it with me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, there is all power, there is all glory, there is all honor. Amen. And Lord, you are the King of this service and of this church. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates. Show us your glory. I believe it's God's desire to overflow in this place as well. It's not just a song, but it's our prayer. We're unified in prayer, singing a song. Lord, overwhelm us with this, with your presence. There's a lot I've been overwhelmed with in my life, but there's one thing that I enjoy being overwhelmed with. That is the presence of God. There's 6 days that I don't get to come in here. 1 hour on Wednesday, but this moment, this hour, I get to be in God's house in his presence. I'm with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. I'm gonna be here in this life spending time with you, but I get to look forward to spending eternity with my God with you as well. I believe God wants to do so much right now in this place, in this very hour. Psalms 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." He doesn't want to hold back. It's not his desire to hold back. It is his desire to just pour himself out. If he's ready and willing to do that, my response is, Lord, I don't want to hold nothing back from you either. When I am willing and he is willing and my heart is drawn to him and his heart is drawn to mine, I don't have to walk very far. When I draw near to him, he will draw near to me. This is the God encounter that's about to take place right here. We're not going to go any further. There's going to be preaching of the word, but Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, and that's what we're going to do at this moment. We're not going to go any further. There is needs in this house. There are ones sick at home, but God is able to meet their needs where they are right now. God is able to meet your need where you are right now in this place. There's some names up on the board, but also I want to add this that isn't on the board. God has placed people in your life for a reason, and seeds have been planted. We need to pray for those seeds that have been planted. There's a man that I came in contact with this week that I never met before. He asked me, what was I doing the night before? I was working on the church. We were working on the floors. We're getting ready for the installation service next week. But that opened the door for him to ask, what do you believe? A Catholic man has never felt the presence of God the way that we're used to feeling here every Sunday when we get together. I said, we believe in expression of worship. We believe in baptism in Jesus' name, being filled with the Holy Spirit. He looked at me and he looked at his arm and he said, man, I got goosebumps all over my body. That's being the church and taking the church outside of these four walls. But God is doing this to so many people, to your mission field and your workplace, to your neighborhood, to your community, to your family. We're going to take these needs before the Lord for the ones that need healing, but also the seeds that have been planted. We're going to pray. God is going to be the God that is going to give the increase. We're going to do our part, and God will do his. I did my part by being a witness to speaking up this week and telling him, gave him the answer for what we believe. And God showed up and did his part. God, if we do our part right now in these next few minutes, God will do his part. I promise you. He is so quick. I didn't have to wait. It was instantaneous. It was right in the middle of the conversation that God showed up. God is here to show up, to manifest himself. Let's take some knees before the Lord. Let's not go any further. Lord, we're here, Lord. We're desperate for you, Lord, for an outpouring of your spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, we desire to draw near to you right now. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord, you'd meet Brother Day at his need, at his home right now. For Brother Sean Fredrickson, in Jesus' name, by faith, we're going to call him Brother Sean, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we're going to see a return of these prodigals, Lord, that have been prayed for week after week, month after month, year after year. There's an expectation, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I pray, Lord, for healing for Sue Ann and Ray, Lord. For Sister Robin and Andrew right now, Lord. For Rachel Wallace and Brother Caleb, Lord. Lord, we're going to pray for Easton, Lord. Believe it and expect it, Lord. You're going to do a miracle, Lord, in his life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you have a need in this place, I encourage you, don't let this moment pass you by. If you don't have a need and you know somebody somebody that has a need that isn't here right now, I encourage you to stand in the gap. God will honor that also in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Let's just worship him all in this place. Let's just take a few more seconds. God, we praise you, Lord. We thank you, God, that your spirit is here, God, that you're in this place to accomplish whatever you're desiring to do. God, we thank you, God, for what we feel here. Let lives be changed. Let hearts be changed. Let miracles truly be happening in this place, in this service, in this atmosphere. Amen. 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 We just want his will to be done today. I know that there are many people who are out sick. There's many people who are, you know, struggling and going through a lot today. But it is good to be with you all in this place. And it does not matter, you know, if, you know, we're missing, we're praying for Brother Billy who's out sick today. We're missing him on the drums, but we don't need drums for God to be in this place. We love Brother Billy. We love Brother Billy. We're not, he's still on the drums next week. We're not kicking him off. But that's, we're not here if we don't have a keyboard, if we don't have singers, if we don't have music, if we don't have any of that, that's fine. As long as the presence of the Almighty God is in this place. That's what matters. Thankful for what we feel here today. A few announcements for the week. We'll have prayer tonight at 6 p.m. This Wednesday night, we will be meeting here at 7 p.m. for a spring cleaning, church cleaning night. If you would like to come earlier, we will have a list of things that you can get done, but maybe not at like noon. We won't have it then, but maybe, you know, if you get off work early and you don't want to stay late, we're not going to be here till midnight, but we can accommodate you. But we do invite you to come out, even if it's just dusting, even if it's just wiping something down. There's something for you to do, and it's a good night of fellowship, and we're not going to put you to work. We're not going to be, you know, hanging you from the top, dusting the top of the lamps. Don't worry, Sister Span. You know, you're not going to have to go up and climb up 20-foot ladders. We're not going to do that, but we just want it to be a time of working together to get our church presentable. It's a beautiful church, and we want to take care of it. So we invite you to come at 7 p.m. this Wednesday night. This Saturday, March 7th, we will be having a special service here. We do invite you to come. It's an installation service for the church. I've said it before, but it's not about my wife and I. It is about the church. And we are nothing without you. You are the church. This building isn't the church. My wife and I are not the church. We are the church together. And so we want this to be a night that we can celebrate, we can come together, we can pray and believe that God is going to continue to do great things into the future. Today, we do have a special announcement. It's with a very solemn heart that we're going to have this announcement. Most of you probably won't even cheer when we give this announcement. It's probably a lot of tears, but Brother Spencer does have an announcement and an update for the youth offering. There are tissues available as he makes this announcement for most of you.
We raised $360 over the last month. Out of that $360, the girls won with $246.
If you guys want tissues, you're so brokenhearted, I understand. It was just one bad apple that probably put it over the top, but.
So on March 22nd, dinner for the youth as well. They'll be here at the church right after service. On that day, Sister Lauren will get to put a pie in Brother Johnson's face.
I can tell most of you are just so upset like I am. Thank you all for supporting the youth. Well, thank you to some of you for supporting the youth. Others, thank you. Do have a few more announcements. Today is Mason's birthday. Mason is 19 years old today. So when you see him, make sure he looks a little older. If you saw him come in, you wonder what's different. He's 19 today. So I mean, everything's changing. But make sure you tell him happy birthday. Also good to have Travis here today, friends with Manny and Casey. He is slowly teaching Manny on how to grow a beard. So he's offering lessons afterwards. Brother Al, I know you trimmed it up a bit, but it, I mean, he can help you get there. But it's good to have Travis here today. Also, today is Bread Sunday. As you can see, there are muffins that Sister Christy has brought. If you have participated in the bread program for the month of February, during meet and greet, please come up and grab one. If your spouse isn't here today and they have been following along, I'm sure Sister D is going to grab two. Yeah, yeah. So just get here before Sister D, but make sure you grab a muffin, and we continue on. If you weren't able to complete the bread program this month, the Bible reading enriches any day. Start it up now. Today's March 1st. Start it up. Just read. We have programs in the back. You can do your own program. Just spend time in the Word every day. Like Brother Kellum talked about today, just we're fighting a battle with our flesh, and the only way to fight that battle is to get in God's Word, to dive into it, to figure out what it means for yourself. Amen. Amen. So at this moment, we're going to get out in the aisles. We're going to shake some hands, hug some necks, spend a few moments in meet and greet, and tell somebody you love them today. Amen. As you're finding your way back to your seat, I did overlook someone very special that just recently had a birthday, and this person almost just walked out of the building whenever I didn't acknowledge their birthday. They're very sensitive, but we all want to acknowledge that Manny had a birthday on Friday. I told him that we already wished him happy birthday about a month ago. It just happened to be the wrong date, so didn't know you got to do it twice a year. But good to be here today. Just good being with this group of people, this church. It's just, I love this people. I love you. Our ushers would be ready to take up today's tithe and offering. We're going to put the declaration on the screen. And, you know, you may still, maybe this is still awkward. And I'll be honest, it is a little weird. I recognize that. However, I don't know how many text messages I've gotten that says checks in the mail or gifts and surprise. And someone just this past week sent my wife and I a screenshot of a check in the mail that they got that no clue it was coming, just a surprise. And I just choose to believe that God wants to bless us, that God is trying, if we would give faithfully to the kingdom of God, God is going to bless. And when we say these things, we speak life. We speak it into existence. I believe that. This isn't a name it and claim it sort of mentality, but this is speaking in faith, believing that God hears everything that we pray. So let's say this together. Upon the authority of your word, I have given, and it shall be given unto me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I am a tither, and I bring my offerings to the house of the Lord. I bring them today into the storehouse. Therefore, the enemy is rebuked, the curse is broken, and I live under an open heaven. We receive jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, sales and commissions, benefits and settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, bills paid off, debts demolished, and royalties received. I and my whole family am blessed and walking in the favor of God. I have health and abundance, and I am blessed coming in and going out in Jesus' name. Amen. Give unto the Lord today.
Into the darkness, if it wasn't for
Let's just sing this together. Come on, you were a prisoner. But when he went to the cross for you, he offered salvation. When his blood was shed at Calvary, it covered every sin, every shame, every brokenness. God, I thank you for the cross. Come on, let's sing it one more time. Thankful for that blood today, that blood shed for you, that pure sacrifice. We would be still in prison to our sin, in bondage to our shame. We would suffer condemnation if we did not have the cross, if we did not have his sacrifice. Where would we be without the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful that he chose willingly. Like Brother Kellum just said this morning, he called it joy to endure the cross. It was a joy to him. He loves you that much that he was hung on the cross. He died there, and it was a joy, even though we didn't deserve it. I'm thankful for that work, that act. I want to turn our attention to the book of Psalms 145. We'll skip around a little bit in Psalm 145, but we will stay within Psalm 145, starting in verse 1. This, of course, is David writing this. And he says in verse 1, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, shall declare thy mighty acts, and I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Skipping to verse 8. Verse 8, it says, the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Skipping to verse 13, it says, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. And finally, skipping to verse 21, David concludes this psalm and he says, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Today, I want to echo what David said, how he ended this book of Psalms with by saying, my mouth shall praise the Lord. My mouth was designed for one thing and one thing only. Your mouth was designed to praise the Lord. That's why God gave you the ability to speak. That's why he gave you a voice. So as we enter into this sermon, why don't we just do that right where you're at? Let's just choose to use our mouth to speak praises to the Lord, to glory and the praises of our God, to edify our God. God, I praise you. God, I love you, Jesus. I worship you today. I will speak praise unto the Lord, for you are worthy of all the praise. You are worthy of the glory, O God. I praise you today. I worship you today. I glorify you today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, you may be seated. I want to speak and I tried to get it out, but say, my mouth shall praise the Lord today. David is credited for at least of the 150 psalms, or 150 psalms in the book of Psalms. David is credited for at least 73 psalms that he was the author. And there's assumptions due to references in the New Testament that at least two more, at least 75 psalms is he accredited for. But we do know that Psalms 145 is the very final psalm that David wrote. And he's covered throughout his 75 psalms a number of different topics. He sang praises to God. He's foretold of the Messiah's coming. He's warned of rebellious efforts that would be there to overthrow that Messiah. He's spoken of Absalom's rebellion. He sought forgiveness of his sins after Bathsheba. He's covered a number of different topics throughout this book. He's experienced the pinnacle of success by being anointed king over all of Israel. And he suffered the lowest of lows of having his son Absalom rebel against him and then eventually be cut down and killed by his very own men. Such sorrow that David experienced that he said, I wish that it were me that was killed instead of my son. He experienced a roller coaster over his life. He experienced a lot in his life. But as he sat down to write out this final psalm, I imagine that he contemplated, what should he possibly talk about? He's already written, and I know he didn't know he was writing 74 psalms leading up to this, but he's already written much about the glory of God. He's already written much about forgiveness, about the forthcoming Messiah. What could he possibly cover in this last chapter? He could express sorrow. He could express joy. He does express how great God is, how he's gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. I'm sure David sat down and debated every single topic. What should I say? What is God putting upon my heart that I would choose to write in my last book? Would I write about all those things? What should I potentially write about? But I imagine he sat there and he just smiled to himself and said, all those things were important. All those things happened in my life. But I want the very last words that I write to be, my mouth shall speak of the praise of the Lord. In spite of everything that took place in David's life, in spite of all the good and all the bad, he still wanted it to be known that at the very end, my mouth shall speak praise unto God. We have to make up in our mind that regardless of every single thing that takes place in our life, regardless of every great thing, how high your highs get or how low your lows get, you got to make up in your mind that with my mouth, I will speak praise unto God. Regardless of my situation, regardless of what it looks like, God's power is not dependent upon my situation. God is still worthy of praise. Regardless if I don't know how I'm going to get through the situation, God is still worthy of praise. God is God. He is worthy of praise, so I will choose to give him praise. Regardless of where I find myself, I still choose to glorify God with my mouth. Because what you speak, what words come out of your mouth matters. That's why when we go through a declaration during offering, we are putting out words that we believe that God is going to bless us. We are telling ourselves, even when you got $0 in the bank account and you got bills that are coming next week, even when it doesn't look like you still got enough to cover it, you're speaking the words of faith. And there is power when you speak those words. Your words carry weight. It's why in Proverbs 18:21, with a scripture we know well, but death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So I have a question for you today. What words come out of your mouth on a regular basis? Are they words of defeat? Are they words of negativity? Are they words of depression? Are they words of fear? Are they words of worry? Are they words of anxiety? Or are they words that say, I know that I got a lot of stuff going on, but I know God is able. I know I got situations and trials, but I know God is faithful. God is working. God is in control. God is fighting for me. What words are coming out of your mouth? I know I've made up in my mind that whatever words come out of my mouth will be used to glorify God and God alone. I choose not to glorify my trials. See, when I talk about my trials, I give glory to them. I build them up. I strengthen them by dwelling upon them, by talking about them. When I talk about the mountains that I'm facing, you know, the more you talk about the mountains, the taller the mountains become. When you talk about your trials, the larger your trials become. So I choose not with my own mouth, with my own words, to build up those mountains. I instead choose to build up God, who is bigger than any mountain, who's bigger than any trial. I choose with my mouth, with my words, to sing praise unto my God, to glorify Him, to build Him up, because He's bigger, because He's stronger, because He's mightier than any other situation I would find myself in. I choose with my own words to praise the Lord. In school, they used to say, if you can't say anything nice, then don't. You all went to the same school I went to. I think that should be applied in our own personal lives today. What are you speaking in your home that is hindering a breakthrough? What are you giving life to with your words? How in your mouth are you encouraging negativity? What are you saying that doesn't bring glory to God? What are you saying that limits Him to from being able to work in your life? You have a choice to speak life or to speak death today. You have a choice to speak praise to God or praise to the enemy today. I choose with my mouth, I am going to praise God. I am going to give Him glory. I am going to lift Him up. I am going to speak about the goodness of God today. If you want victory in your life, if you've been struggling and facing things that are difficult, and I know that there are situations in here, and I understand every situation is different, but if you want victory over those situations, it starts in your mouth. It starts in how you talk about those situations. It starts in your perspective and what you bring out when you talk about those situations. In the book of James, James tries to clarify just how powerful your tongue can be. He says in James 3, verse 3, "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive trees, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." And I love what James is trying to get us to see in this passage of Scripture. He pulls out the imagery of a horse, a powerful horse. If you look at a typical racehorse, they average anywhere from 1,200 to 1,500 pounds. They can run up to 40 miles an hour. These are not animals that should be able to be contained by man. But when you take a small horse's bit and you put it in its mouth and you put reins on it, a small 5'2" jockey that weighs 120 pounds can control an animal that weighs 10 times what he weighs just with a small motion. Just a twist, and he can make it go right. Just a pull, and he can make it go left. That bit can cause a horse to stop, to turn, to go in whichever direction. That little bit has the power to urge a horse to victory, or if it's used improperly, that bit could bring a horse to defeat, which is why James uses that description when he refers to the tongue. The words he says, he calls it deadly poison. He says it defiles the whole body. It is unruly evil. Our unruly mouth, the words that you speak, if we are not careful, if we are not intentional, can bring chaos and destruction. One little lie, one small white lie, can destroy trust that has been established over years. One outburst of anger, one retort, one sharp-edged tongue remark can leave scars that may never heal. Words carry such weight. They carry such power. One negative statement about the church, about someone in the church, about the pastor, one negative statement made half-heartedly can turn someone against living for the Lord forever. Many of us would be able to stand up and say, well, I knew so-and-so, and they just got offended one day. Someone said something, and they didn't really mean it, and they took it away, and they left. There's a number of us. I have friends that heard something the wrong way, and now maybe they received it incorrectly. I'm not saying, you know, that everyone was perfect, but still, we have to be so mindful of our words and the words that come out of our mouth, because they carry true power. One negative statement can truly affect somebody. But one statement of praise can change the very atmosphere you find yourself in. One statement of glorifying God in the middle of your storm, when everything else is going wrong, when nothing is okay, one little bit of bringing praise to God can be the shift that you're looking for. Maybe your situation won't get all better at once, but I promise if you quit glorifying your problems and you start glorifying your God, your focus gets off your problems and your focus becomes upon Him. And every one of those big things that you're facing just shrinks up in the presence of God. Regardless of what my life looks like, regardless of what my situation looks like, regardless of how bad it could possibly be, I will choose to praise the Lord. My mouth will speak praise unto God. My mouth will edify my God. I choose to speak praise. You have to choose. You choose the words that come out of your mouth. No one decides what you speak. No one, we are not puppets. We're not a kid's puppet show with black lights, and we just, you know, that isn't how we operate. You know, that isn't how we work. There are no strings connected to us. We decide what comes out of our mouth. David knew the importance of what came out of his mouth. He knew how much that mattered. It's why when he prayed, he was intentional about his prayers. Psalm 71 and 8 says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. He prayed, let my mouth be filled with praise. He desired his mouth to be full of praise. He said in Psalms 51:15, O Lord, open thou my lips. My mouth shall show forth thy praise. I want that to be my prayer. God, open my lips and let my mouth show forth praise. He said in Psalms 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. David knew that he had to remind himself, he had to encourage himself that today God's praise will be on my lips. Giving God glory will be in my mouth. He determined what we've got to determine. My mouth shall praise the Lord. If it's going well, I will praise the Lord. If it's going poorly, my mouth was only designed to give God praise. My mouth was not designed to speak doubt. Your mouth was not designed to speak fear. Your mouth was not designed to soil seeds of rebellion. That's not what your mouth was designed for. Your mouth was designed and created to give God all the praise that you have in your body. If God's been good for you, if God's been good to you, you should give God praise every day of your life. Regardless of your trials, regardless of what you face, God is worthy of praise. Psalm 71:15, he says, "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness, thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof." In the New King James Version, we don't have it on the screen, but it says, "My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day." And then he finishes it, and he says, "For I do not know their limits." I do not know. He says, my mouth cannot help but talk about the righteousness, the goodness, the salvation of God, because I just don't even know the limits of it. Do we love the righteousness and goodness of God so much that that's all we can talk about? Or have we run out of good things to talk about when it comes to God? You know, have we said, well, you know, and that's about it. I'm 32 years old, and I've already basically hit the highlights of what God has done for me, and then maybe in a couple of years he'll have done more, and then I can give him more praise. You know, is that how we react to God's goodness? Is that what's in our mouth? Or have we made up in our mind that God's been good to me, God will be good to me, God will continue to be good to me, so I will give him praise, I will elevate him, I will glorify him, I will praise him because he is worthy. He died on a cross for me. He pulled me out of darkness. He saved me. He loved me when no one else would love me, so I will give him praise. I will praise him for it. I will never get sick. I made up my mind a long time ago that I will never quit glorifying God. Brother Tom, you talk about interacting with that guy at work this week. Just doing that, just talking about God. If God's been good for you, the world needs to know. They need to know there's a God that loves them. They need to know that there's a God that cares for them. Why would we ever get tired of talking about what we get to come in on a Sunday and feel? You know, we come down to the altar, we rejoice, we pray, we get excited, we cry, we feel the presence of God. It's an awesome thing. I believe all of us enjoy it, or else we wouldn't keep coming back here. So if we enjoy something so much, if we love something so much, why would we talk about anything else? Why would any other words come into our mouth other than glorifying who our God is? Why would we choose to talk about doubt? Why would we choose to talk about troubles? Why would we choose to talk about bad things when we got the best thing? We got God. We got a Savior. So I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. When it's good, I'll praise him. When it's bad, I'll praise him. I will bless the Lord. I will choose with my mouth to praise the Lord. If we tried the best burger in town, you better believe everybody would know about it. Ooh, they caramelize the bacon, and oh, and they do this thing with this spicy mayo, and oh man, and then this sweet hickory barbecue. I better stop because I'm gonna lose all of you. I'm gonna lose myself. I'm gonna put the mic down and go. We gotta find this burger. Manny, can you cook that for us? Manny, that sounds like something you'd be able to make. But if we found something like that, we would tell everybody about that. Everybody would know, like, okay, he's going to talk about the burger. Here it goes. You know those people. Oh, it was 22 years ago. I don't even know what city. It was outside of Cleveland. It was a family trip. There was a red door. I remember there was a red door. You know, everybody has one of those places that you always go back to. Well, we got something so much greater than that. And everybody should just roll their eyes whenever we come. He's going to talk about God again. He's going to talk about how good God is. Yeah, he saved him. Yeah, he did that. Yeah, people should roll their eyes at us. Here he comes again. Yes, here I come again. I am talking about how good God is. His praise will always be in my mouth. He's done too much for me to stay quiet. I want the whole world to know what he's done for me. I want them to know how he saved me, how he raised me. They should know. how good your God is. They should know. David had a heart after God. That's why God chose him. That's why Jesus himself was of the lineage of David. Not because he was perfect. David was not perfect. Not because he was without sin. David made mistakes. But because he had a heart that pursued God. He was constantly pursuing a relationship with him. Psalms 19 and 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We've got to pray earnestly like David would pray. God, use me like you used David. The only thing you're looking for, like David, was a heart that loved you. So we should pray that prayer. Let the words of my mouth, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. If you struggle to praise God, if you struggle to have the words of praise coming out of your mouth, it's not a mouth issue. It could be a heart issue. It could be something connected to your heart. If you're hearing me speak and you're thinking, and I'm not trying to call anybody out, but I'm trying to be very direct here. And if you feel, you just don't know how bad I got it. It's easy. You're the pastor. Everything happens good for you. You can stand up and talk about how good God is. If that's the emotion you're experiencing right now, I just want to caution you that maybe it's a heart issue, because Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Jesus is saying what is in your heart will come out. Well, and I don't get up here because, and I don't speak praise and talk about this because everything has gone right for me. If you spend any time with me, you know I'm pretty vulnerable and real, and sometimes too much, and I'll limit that in this arena. But I'll pretty much tell you my life story. Ask my wife; she's like, "You can pull it back." But I don't get up here and talk about I can give praise to God because I've never done anything wrong because nothing bad's ever happened to me. That's not why I get up here and talk about it. It's because I serve a God who is worthy of the praise. It's when your heart isn't right, it's impossible to speak praise unto God because all you can see is the situation. But if we could get our hearts submitted and repentant, which we can do today. You can do today. You can get your heart right with God today. God wants you to get your heart right with him today. If you can do that, then you can turn that sorrow, that pain, that fear into praise to God. All of those concerns, all of those things that terrify you, all of those things that keep you up at night, those things that leave you in fear, maybe they won't disappear just in an instant. Maybe you'll still struggle. But I promise, those things stop seeming so small. When you're faced with fear, if you began to just speak praises unto God. If you bring God into the image. If you magnify God. You know, we say that word, let's magnify God. And we use it as a term of glorify. We use it as a term of praise. But we never think, at least I don't think, maybe you think clearer than I do, but the word we're saying magnify God. If you have a magnifying glass, what is it? It becomes greater. You put your focus upon it. And so when we magnify God, all that comes into our field of vision is God. Nothing else matters and nothing else gets our attention. And I mentioned I share too much too often, and I want to share something about my wife, and I didn't ask her permission for this, and so I will get myself into trouble, but I'm encouraged, and I want to be vulnerable and real with you all that we are not without fears. We are not without struggles. Even just this past week, my wife, one evening, I didn't know this at the time, she got up in the middle of the night and just had a spirit of fear, that just a darkness that overwhelmed her. And it wasn't really, it was just a number of things. It just kind of settled upon her. And she went out in the other room. And I, again, you know, she didn't wake me and I was sound asleep. But she told me that next day that she just began to do exactly what we're talking about. just quoting scripture, just praising God. She turned on praise music. She turned on worship music. She combated those attacks. And when she did that, God has to show up. When you're struck with fear, glorify God. Let the words out of your mouth bring praise to Him, and He will always meet you there. If you bring praise to Him, He has to show up. He will show up. That's what He does. That brings Him into the room. It brings Him into the atmosphere. If we could all stand as we come to a close today. There's a finality and a summation of David's relationship to God in Psalm 145. I'm not sure if David knew that these were actually going to be the last words that he recorded. I don't know what his mental awareness was. I don't know how this was put together. I'm not a Bible scholar when it comes to how David's Psalms came into the book of Psalms, but something, I just feel like he knew that this was going to be it. If you look at the words, pulling out just a few verses, and I might have read some of these earlier, but looking at Psalms 145:3, he says, "Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable." Verse 5 says, "I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works." Verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy." 14 says, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall, raiseth up all those that be bowed down." Verse 18, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him in truth." That verse alone can keep you. That verse alone, that can bring you through some difficult times, knowing that the Lord is nigh, the Lord is near unto all of you that call upon Him. And then finally, verse 21, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever." David, a man that committed his life to God, a man that wasn't perfect, that made mistakes, he still chose to serve God. And he wanted his last words to be a declaration of all the other things I've done, other than Jesus. I believe that this is correct. Other than Jesus, no one is referred to, or no one has more stories told about them than David in the Bible. Other than Jesus, David is the most talked about. Brother Kellum even mentioned, you might talk to someone who doesn't know anything about the Bible, but they know about David and Goliath or David and Bathsheba. David is very known in the Bible. And at the end of his life, at the end of his writing of Psalms, at the end of what he wanted to record, he chose the only thing that he could write about was, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord." The only thing that matters, the only thing that mattered in his life is, did I praise God enough? Not did I rule well enough. Not did I lead well enough. Not did I do anything else well enough. But God, I just want it to be sure that out of my mouth, I will praise You. That's what I want my life to be. We were created. God gave us the ability to praise Him. No other animal, no other living creature can speak praises unto God. He gave us that ability, not so we could communicate with each other, not so we could talk to each other, not so we could share anything like that. We were designed to worship Him. And we worship Him by lifting up our voice, by giving words of praise and adoration unto Him. We have that vocal ability that we and we alone. So we have a responsibility to give God praise today. You have a responsibility to give God praise. You are called, you are chosen to give God praise. And so I think it would be appropriate for us, as we close our service today, to close this service with praise. If He chose to close His last psalm, I choose to praise God. I know in just a few minutes service will be over. We'll spend 10 minutes talking about the weather. We'll spend 10 minutes trying to figure out where we're going to go eat. We'll spend 10 minutes talking about this funny thing we saw on Facebook this past week. We'll spend probably 22 minutes talking about the coronavirus. You know, we'll spend plenty of time talking about all of these different things in our life. But I think it's appropriate if we came together as one body and we just talked about how good God is. We just offered him praise. We just elevated his name. We just glorified him. So why don't we, right where you're at, why don't you just lift up your hand and let's make a choice right now to bring praise to God. Come on, I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know what you've been facing, but God is still worthy of praise. Regardless of that situation, I promise for the next 10 minutes, that situation won't change by any thought process you put towards it, but it could change by praising God. It could look differently. You could leave this place different if you would make up in your mind to bring praise to God. Come on, right where you're at, right where you're at, just say, God, you're worthy. God, I love you. God, I praise you. God, I worship you. God, I magnify you. That's it. That's it. Let it be a pure praise out of your heart. Come on. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. You have a choice today. Are you going to speak life or are you going to speak death? Come on. Speak life over a dead situation. God, regardless of my finances, I don't have the money in the bank, but I will praise you. God, you know my family's falling apart, but I will praise you. You know there's sickness in my body, but I choose this day to glorify you. I choose this day to praise you. I choose this day to lift you up. Come on, if you feel like it, why don't you come forward? Come into the altar. Let's just spend a few moments together as one body as we close this service. Let's bring praise to the Almighty God. Come on, has he done anything for you? Has he kept you? Has he provided for you? Come on, he's worthy of some praise. He's worthy of glory. Oh, we praise you in this place. We magnify you today. God, we magnify you. Oh, we glorify you. God, we pour out our praise. God, take my praise today. God, in my mouth, I will bless you. God, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. God, let the words of my lips bring glory to you. I praise you today. Hallelujah. 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 You don't praise God because your situation is fixed. You praise God because even if it's never fixed, he's still God. Come on, don't praise God because you need something. Praise God because he's God. Praise God because he's worthy of praise. Praise God because he desires your praise. That's it. Keep praising him. Come on. Don't stop now. We're going to talk about everything else as soon as this service is over. But what could another few minutes of praising God do? Come on. Even if it's just repeating the same words, God loves to hear you praise him. Well, you don't have to have the perfect prayer to praise God. Just praise him. Just give him glory. Just magnify him in your life. Just quit focusing upon the bad and look at how good he is. God, you're a good father. God, you're a perfect father. You have a perfect sacrifice for me. You saved me. You delivered me. You loved me. God, you sought after me when I was in sin, when I was broken, when I had turned from you. You still love me, and I will praise you for it today. Oh, Psalms 146 and 1, the very next verse, right after verse 21, says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. I choose, while I live, I will praise the Lord. While I still have breath in my body, I will praise the Lord. While I have any being, I will praise the Lord." Why don't we just, all over this place, let's just shout hallelujah. If you got breath in your body, just shout hallelujah.
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 Come on, if you got breath in your body, why don't you shout Jesus?
Hallelujah.
If you got breath in your body, and if God's kept you, if he's brought you here, he is worthy of praise. He is worthy of every praise. Every praise. Every praise. Every praise. I'm not. Only God knows what your praise. Only you and God knows what a true praise to you and what Sister Doris, I'm so glad Sister Doris is here today. But when she praises, when she gives God her best, it looks different than when I give God my best. I'm a little younger. I can do a little more than she can. But when she gives God praise, God still receives her praise. God still loves seeing her praise. And some of you got more strength in your body than what Sister Doris could give. So we got a lot more praise that we could give God. We're not handicapped praise. We're not limited praise. God's worthy of our best praise. God's worthy of all of our praise. Whatever we have to give, God is worthy of praise. God is worthy of praise. I know that Psalms is basically a book of praise, and I know it could probably go all day, but I keep seeing scriptures that are highlighted and underlined as I looked at other chapters, and it just shows us how important it is to praise. Psalms 147 and 1, "Praise ye the Lord. It is good to sing praises unto our God. It is pleasant and it is comely." It is pleasant to praise God. It feels good to praise God. No one should walk out of here and think, "Man, I had to praise God today." I hope if that's how you feel, let's talk. I mean, let's have a meeting. We want to get to the bottom of this, but we should live uplifted when we praise God, not down in the dumps, not sorrowful. It is pleasant and comely to praise God. Amen. Amen. It is so good to be here with you all. It's good to experience what we get to experience every Sunday. So thankful for this church, this body of believers. Continue to be in prayer this week that we're going to see people's lives changed. We're going to see, keep praying for those connections. Keep believing. Keep praying for those lost loved ones. God sees every single prayer, and he's going to reach. Amen. One more time. Let's just bow our heads. Let's ask God to bless us as we leave this place today. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, Jesus, that you've been here, that you've visited us, that you've kept us, God. I pray that you be with us, anoint us, help us, Jesus, to be sensitive to what you're doing. Let every word we speak be a praise to the Most High God. We thank you, Lord. Keep us. Bring us back next week in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A few announcements as you're making your way out. We do have prayer tonight. Wednesday night, there will be ladies' prayer. There's tomorrow night. Ladies' prayer tomorrow night here at 7 o'clock. If you're a lady, you are invited to come spend some time in prayer. I know it's always a good time of fellowship. Wednesday night, we will have cleaning here at the church, so you don't have to wear your suit and tie on Wednesday. You can come a little more casual. Come ready to work. Don't let your dress be an excuse. This is my good stuff. No, I warned you. You know, come ready to work. And then Saturday at 5 p.m., we would love for you to come be a part of that service here at the church. You are dismissed. Make sure you tell Travis it's good to see you. Make sure you get all the beard oil tips that he has to get that beard. And tell Manny happy late birthday. And happy birthday to Mason's actual birthday. Amen. God bless. You are dismissed.